This is The Spot, the BYU-Idaho radio podcast where we talk about what you're talking about. Today's hosts are Virginia Henry, Jessica Morgenthaler, and Dale Spaulding. The views and opinions in this podcast are not that of BYU-Idaho Radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the hosts.
Hello and welcome to The Spot, where we talk about what you're talking about on the campus of BYU-Idaho.
I'm Virginia Henry.
And I'm Jessica Morgenthaler.
I'm Dale Spaulding. Thanks so much for joining us. Today we are talking about the one thing that's almost become a joke in our culture, here on campus, outside of campus, back at home with our friends, New Year's resolutions. And I think people, they joke about it because they break them so easily sometimes, or they give them the excuse, the thought, the idea that it's, oh, you just set them and then you break them. And I think that's doing an injustice. There's people out there that actually want to hold their resolutions.
And I thought we'd talk about that. There are people who actually do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the stereotype is that, oh, that's something you wish you could do, but you're not actually going to do.
Right. Here on campus, there's this term. We call it a disciple leadership center. I don't know if you ever heard that term. David A. Bednar was one of the former presidents here, and he talked about that a lot. But I also think that it's a principle to go out there and make good habits for yourself. So this is the perfect place to set those New Year's resolutions into motion. So we're going to talk today about a few different ones, and I know you have thought about these at least once. So we'll start off with going to the gym.
Now that dun, one, dun, dun.
It's like the nightmare scenario, but people say they want to go. Like, why do they do that to themselves? Like, they say, I want to go to the gym, but then they don't. Why do they set themselves up to fail almost? What do you guys think?
Well, this is my favorite topic. I like this. But, I mean, I think it's such a trend right now is getting buff and working out, going to the gym, posting the gym pics. And so if people are going there with the wrong intentions, like, oh, I want to go to the gym because that's what everyone else is doing, then you're going to fail easily. But if you go there with the intent and, you know, the strong will to, you know, be fit or get stronger, then you're going to do great. And you'll actually hold to it because it's something you want to do, not because everyone else, because you think other people want you to or something.
Right. Do you think that has this idea that we should look a certain way? Does that have an effect on why people go to the gym? Like, how can we overcome that?
I'm sure. I mean, I think that's something that's been going on for generations, and, you know, even back in the early 1900s, where, oh, like, you need to look like this, or you need to look like this to be accepted. But there's so many different body types, and, you know, there's girl slim or girl fit, and then there's guy fit, girl, I don't know, there's so many different. And, you know, right now we're in this generation of, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like, or, you know, it seems like the media is trying to post more of that. It doesn't matter, like, everyone's different and we should just be happy. So I think with going to the gym, you should go there not so you can look like everyone else, but so that you can accomplish goals that you want to accomplish
for yourself.
Yeah,
I like that.
I also think, at least for me, because I was totally that person who was like, I am going to work out and lose weight and get fit because I want to look good because that's what's popular. That's what guys like or whatever, you right. know, the reasons go on. And my mom used to always tell me, because she would, you know, ask me about my habits, you know, and how's working out going? And I thought she's just like, she's just worried her daughter's gonna be fat, you know, blah, blah, blah. But she was like, no, honey, like, I want you to work out because it's good for you, because it makes you healthy and it makes you feel good. And that's something that I feel like people don't really realize, you don't realize until you do it. Mm-hmm. Because once you get into a good routine, I mean, those endorphins really start flowing and you just feel better about yourself. I could be the same pant size and I'd be like, I'm feeling good today.
Right.
Just because I put forth that effort. And so it shouldn't, like Jessica was saying, like, we shouldn't be worrying about, oh my gosh, I need to have a perkier this or a firmer bicep or whatever.
Right.
It should be more, I want to do this because I want to feel good and I want to be healthy, because there will come a time in our lives. Right now we're young, but there will come a time when we will not have the same physical capabilities or health that we do now. But if we take care of our bodies now, we'll be better off in the future.
And there's a huge connection between your body and your mind too. Like, when you take care of your physicality, your mind is refreshed. It gives it something to chew on as you're going through the weights, as you're working on your will to push through that stuff. So I feel like that's awesome comments. I really appreciated that. All right, we're going to jump to food and diet resolutions. I know people have done like the kale diet. They've tried keto. They've done this, that, and the other. And it feels like there's a new diet every year almost. But what are some of the trends that you have seen and maybe some that you are currently working on, if any?
Well, here's one thing to remember about the diets is that different diets work for different people. Some people will say, oh, the keto diet or the, you know, eat raw eggs or, you know, whatever.
Gulp down some raw eggs.
Yeah, actually, don't do that. but they're like, oh, do this diet because it helped me lose 10 pounds. But then that person, like another person, will do that exact same diet, follow religiously, but have no effect. Every body is different. So, and, you know, just like, you know, every mind, like your mind is different. So your body acts in different ways and will, you know, burn fat in different ways. So
do you try everything, or at what point does a person just get so frustrated that they quit? Like, how do you avoid reaching that point, I guess?
With diets, yeah, you kind of just have to, like, for me, I've just, you know, tried different things, and you have to, like, kind of play around with it. But there is, I've looked at some websites where you can find your body type and or your metabolic type, I believe that's what it's called.
Metabolic
and
type, yeah.
So you can, you know, if you find that, then it can give you more of a detailed, like, what you how you should be eating or what you should be eating less of. And I think with most of these popular ones, like the keto, the paleo, those are probably ones that just work well for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So there's no harm in trying. I mean, with a keto diet, I think you're eating more proteins and meats. And you are eating fats, but you're eating better fats. And so, so like bone broth instead of like canola oil.
Yeah,
like,
it's staying away from carbs. Mm-hmm. You mostly stay away from carbs, but you can have like steak, you know, and things like that. That's why it's
I
so
like
popular.
That diet.
Yeah, right.
Or like, sweet. Oh, so you can still eat some of the good foods, and then you got some fats. Mm-hmm. And then like even like on Pinterest, I've seen a bunch of like keto fat bombs, and so they're like, sometimes you just need a treat, and you do need fats for your body to, you know, work effectively. Because if you're just like eating less, you know, yeah, you might be burning more fat, but you're gonna be exhausted throughout the day and grumpy. So you have to following a diet plan, whatever works for your body, is good, but because you have to have the right balance. Right.
I also think for me, at least, is not thinking about it as a diet. Because I know you're like, what?
What?
That's the whole
exactly.
point.
I'm sitting here looking at Virginia like, what you talking about?
No, but okay, really, because when, I mean, maybe this is just me, but when I think of a diet, I think it has an end date. Okay. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to diet and stay away from sugar and white pastas and whatever for a month or for this year. And then it has an end date. And so I just go back to what I was doing before. Mm-hmm. So instead of thinking of it as like this diet, I like to, whenever I want to make a change with my eating, I think about it as a lifestyle change. Gotcha. So, okay, I want to have a different lifestyle, a healthier lifestyle. So I'm going to try to eat veggies with every meal.
Sure.
Or, you know, something like that.
And that's a realistic goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and exactly. And so when you think of it as a lifestyle change and be like, I want to live this continuously.
Right.
You stop with the extremist stuff.
Right.
And do stuff that's actually achievable. At least that's been my experience. So that would be my advice for like New Year's resolutions with regards to whatever you're doing. Think of it as a lifestyle change, not that I'm going to do this temporarily. But yeah.
So on that same topic of like lifestyle changes, lifestyle choices, we're going to move on to our next topic. We're going to cruise through these next two segments really quick, but I want to talk tech. Tech for our generation is a lifestyle. Like, we are surrounded by it. We have TV monitors literally in every corner of the MC as we walk through. There's nowhere that we don't have a screen. We have one on our person. Our cell phones, our tablets, whatever you want to call them.
Smartwatches.
Exactly. There's always some kind of digital something or other that connects us to the outside world. What kind of resolutions have you guys seen? I know that for me, people are going to be, and I love this about certain people. Some of my friends have quit Facebook. They stopped posting. And Twitter and Instagram and all these other sites, they just stopped. There was no pomp and circumstance. I'm going to quit for this long. There was no posts tooting their own horn. It was just a simple let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like people that, at least for me, for people that are that quote unquote humble to do that, to just drop it, are really cool. That's my personal thought. But to get rid of social media is such a big deal anymore. And I thought, why don't we chat about that for a little bit? Like, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, let me tell you my little experience of today.
Oh, for today.
All right.
Yeah. So last night, I realized I lost my phone. Haven't had it at all today. And I cannot think about anything else except for I have to find my phone. I had two classes today. I don't know what they're about because all I could think about, like, where could my phone be?
You weren't even in class.
I was in class, but yeah. Like
mentally not in class.
But mentally not. I was like, right. Where in the world could my phone be?
Right.
And so I am just like having anxiety and I'm stressing. And, you know, phones are super useful. You get to contact people. But still, like that attachment to my phone,
yeah.
I'm trying really hard to make this, to turn this into something good, like a life lesson of, you know, I need to learn to not be so attached to my phone. So, yeah, I still need it and I would like to find it. But it's a good lesson for me to kind of, you know, I don't need to be on it all the time and I can get a lot more done if I'm not just, you know, scrolling and searching.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, again, people need to set realistic goals with social media because it's, you know, there's so much good you can use for it. The church has talked about using it for missionary work.
Yeah.
And we're communication majors, and a lot of my classes, we use social media. I have a social media class, like, you know, for marketing and for promoting good messages and promoting products. And, you know, it's a good business tool.
Right.
But using it in the right way. And effectively, I guess, is what we should be focusing on.
Right.
I think that this is my own opinion, but I think everyone should have a goal to use technology less. Like, I really do.
Sure.
Just because, especially us college students, like our generation, because a lot of us, especially the younger ones, like the freshmen coming in, were raised on this, like grew up with a smartphone in their hands type of a thing. And so I don't think we realize how much technology and social media are taking the place of real relationships.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to, you know, don't kill me, but like Tinder, Mutual, the dating apps,
sure.
You know, we turn to those and those are our solution for our lack of human interaction.
It's almost like a validation for yourself too. Like this
yeah,
hope that you're going to find that relationship.
Could be. Whereas we're surrounded. I mean, you walk across campus and you pass like, you know, 100 single people on your way to your next class, you know,
right.
And you could talk to somebody face to face right there, but we've become so disengaged with face to face cold communication, like cold contacting. And if you already are in a relationship or even just with your friends, being present, right? I mean, Jessica, you were saying I was in class, but I mentally was not in class.
Right.
I feel like a lot of times when we're with people, sometimes they're physically there, but they're not mentally there because they're doing something on their phone. And that's so important to take that time. And so I would just like for people who are, I realize that I have a slight addiction to social media. Like I'm saying all these things, but I struggle with it too. I realize that. And so, and my husband has actually made comments being like, hey, like, I'm here at home with you. You want to put away your phone and like, let's spend time together. And so I've just kind of been trying to think of what else could I do to fill my time when I have free time instead of just whipping out my phone. So I've picked up a book that I'm reading for fun.
For fun,
you know, what, you know, just like choosing a hobby, right? Something you're like, okay, maybe I should pick up crocheting, actually, which I got a crochet hook and yarn for Christmas.
Hey, well
done.
I'm
going to try doing that as well. You know, like something else. Or your scripture study, or right. your homework, or
go hang out with friends. Go see those people that you're chatting with. Yeah, instead of being social on media, go be social in real life.
Right.
But I think like what you were saying, Virginia, it's this, messaging and social media. It's creating this environment of when people talk in person. In some ways, it's almost weird. Like
yeah.
someone came and talked to me at the gym, and it was super random and out there. Like, hey, you guys look familiar, and started a little conversation. And I was like, that was weird that he just randomly said something. And I'm like, wait, that's not weird. Like, people should be able to just come up and start a conversation and talk to you because you look like someone they want to talk to.
It's funny too. Like, you shared your experience with your phone. Now I'm going to share mine with my technology. When I was in high school, quick little background. When I was in high school, technology was my addiction. Like, it sucked. Social media, huge. I would spend hours a day just checking Facebook. And I didn't even have a phone that had internet access. So when I did get an iPhone, I was constantly on it. Fast forward to about maybe 6 months before my mission, I realized I'm not going to have this stuff. I'm going to have a flip phone. And I have to like press the same button 5 times in order to spell out the word the.
Mm-hmm. I remember those days.
Right? Good old days. But
it made you not talk as less.
Exactly.
Not as much.
As much, yeah. We knew what you meant. It was so crazy to me. Like after my mission, I came back home. And that's a harsh detox for a technology addiction. And even then, like for my mission, we had like iPads and teaching online. But with that teaching online, I actually saw technology could be something positive.
Right.
And then coming home, I decided, and I haven't gone back, I've decided that I'm not going to use any social media app or any social media browser on my phone.
That's
and for
great.
The past, oh my gosh, it's been almost 5 years.
Wow.
5 years since I've been home from my mission, and I have not done that. It's actually changed the way that I interact with my family and definitely my wife and son. So if I'm on my laptop, it's like designated I'm working or social media on the side type of a thing. It's really cool how that one decision has changed how I interact with other people.
So
and I feel like
what's kept you like sticking to that goal? It's
dedicated.
Been 5 years. Yeah.
So
what kept you so dedicated?
At least for me, in my experience, the addiction part of it came from this idea that I struggled to interact with people. So the internet and Facebook removed that face-to-face aspect. I was bullied, even though I'm kind of a bigger guy, and I was on the football team too, but I still had interest in like theater and radio and art. So I had a few different things going on that made me feel very self-conscious. And Facebook removed that social aspect that terrified me in talking to people. I was still funny when I talked to people face-to-face. I was still hyperactive and funny like teenage boys are. But after what was all said and done, coming back home from my mission, like to answer your question, what kept me focused was the people. Like as soon as I reached a certain point where I realized I didn't need Facebook anymore to be that crutch, I didn't need to have a screen. And so talking to people face to face like I am with you two, it's actually stimulating for one. It's engaging. It's fun. Being able to talk and interact with another human being brings satisfaction to me.
It's more rewarding
mm-hmm.
when you do it in person. And I think, like, just to almost, like, segue, if we're ready, like,
yeah,
in
yeah.
our next segment of, like, spirituality. Because when we, just because I'm going to get a little spiritual.
just
you
a
know,
smidge.
Because it really is all about people. Right? And loving people. That's the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we use these amazing inventions to limit our ability to love people fully because we're not actually there with them or we aren't really understanding what they're saying or judging them based on what they post, then we're missing out on a great gift. And the gift of charity that we could have that really, once you develop that, you become so much more enjoyable to be around.
Right.
and so the best way to develop that is practice, even though it's scary and it comes with trial and error. it's worth the endeavor, even yeah. though it requires that risk of talking to people
yeah.
in person.
And it is a risk. It's a give and take. And I can mm-hmm. totally validate that feeling coming from a spot of being antisocial as a teenager and now being a quote-unquote semi-functional adult. Mm-hmm. But Jess, do you have any thoughts on how these resolutions are more of a spiritual matter and not just, you know, a flippant, oh, I'm going to look good for the new year?
Oh, definitely. I think, just that sound, I'm going to look good for the new year, it sounds so vain. I mean, we do want
We do think that way, though.
Yeah, we do want to look good and, you know, maybe be just more fit and more healthy. But if you have that mindset, I think, you know, it's if you have more vain mindset of, you know, these goals of looking gaining more interest or likes or whatever, mm-hmm. then those are so fragile. It's going to break. But if you have this like awakening or like realize you have a problem, I think that's the best step to accomplishing your goals. So sorry, going back to like spiritual.
Yeah.
If we have more spiritual goals, I feel like that's going to, those are really going to stick because you want that spirit with you always. If you wanted to go to the temple more, instead of just like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, go to the temple once a week, you know, that's good. You're setting a number goal and, maybe like being accountable to someone.
Right.
But you need to have that mindset. Like, why do I want to go to the temple once a week? It's so I can have the spirit, you know, that's like a spirit on steroids, or it's like, it's like big giant chunk of spirituality that, you know, will, you know, help me last throughout the week.
So it sounds like you're saying if it becomes a rote thing to do spiritual acts or go to spiritual places, you lose the spirit. Is that kind of what I'm getting from you? Like repetitious spiritual
yeah.
stuff
like
doesn't
if
bring
that's
the spirit.
Your mindset of just like I'm going like for a long time for going to church. I've been going ever since after the mission. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, I'll go to church because I know I'm supposed to. Then I had to try to figure out, why am I here? Mm-hmm. Why? And then, mm-hmm. You know, once I figured out I'm going here because I need to learn and, you know, interact with people, then it kept me going. And, you know, then I stopped skipping second hour, you know, stuff like that. So it's a lot of mindset. You have to have the right mindset and set a goal that's important to you.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to kind of finalize our discussion. Find something that is important to you. I think also being realistic, that's a theme that we have found in our discussion too. Being timely is another huge one. And our hope here is that you are able to hear our discussion and be motivated or at least entertained with what we have shared, our experiences. Mm-hmm. We hope that as you approach the new year that you do so humbly, energetically, excitedly, and go get some goals. Go meet them, break them, and set some more. This is The Spot, where we're talking about what you're talking about.
I'm Virginia Henry.
And I'm Jessica Morgenthaler.
I'm Dale Spaulding. Thanks so much for listening.
The views and opinions in this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho Radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the hosts. You've been listening to The Spot, a BYU Idaho Radio podcast where we talk about what you're talking about. Today's hosts were Virginia Henry, Jessica Morgenthaler, and Dale Spaulding. Editing by Dale Spaulding and supervision by Brandon Isle.